Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful watching children come up in the house of God? I'll give him some praise for it. We're glad to have Brother James and Sister Monica in the house tonight. Won't you praise him?
Hallelujah. I guess after I pull my heart out of my stomach, then I can testify. Amen. God is so good. We serve an awesome God. We serve the only and one true living God. And I give him praise today. I give him all the glory today. Hallelujah. My God is an awesome God, Brother Sutton. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is doing some wonderful things with us. I can't complain. Amen. I'm still trying to pull my heart out of my stomach. Amen. Last year, in the month of October, my son David was born deaf in his left ear. He's never heard out of his ear, Brother Stephen. And we went to an apostolic conference in Madison, Mississippi. And me and my wife came back home fired up with a whole lot of faith. Amen. We went to a revival service. A man laid hands on David and his ear popped open. Looked like we weren't having revival, like nothing wasn't happening. But I'm here to tell you today, in just 2 weeks, in just one weekend, I mean from Friday to that Sunday morning, amen, the last weekend of October, we had 20 to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ and was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you today, we serve an awesome God. We serve a powerful God. I'm not going to give up on him. Because he is worthy to be praised. Come on, church, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, if you think he's worthy, give him praise.
In the name.
If you love him, give him praise. If you love him, give him praise. Oh, somebody magnify him. Somebody glorify. Somebody lift him up. High and lift him. Oh, mighty God. Worthy God. Praise God. It's in times like this we know exactly what David was talking about when he said, I could run through a troop, leap over a wall. Praise God. Praise God. We love the Word of God. I love preachers. And I love Brother Bradley Smith. The wonderful work they're doing in Dayton, Ohio, lifting up the torch in another generation. And I appreciate the impact he's having on the Apostolic Church. I'm so glad that he carved out a precious Sunday out of his schedule for us. It's not an easy thing for a pastor to do. And I really, really appreciate him doing that. And I want him to come tonight, and whatever the Holy Ghost has breathed into him, I want him to tell us about it tonight. You extend your hand toward him and ask him to preach to you. Say, preach to me, preacher. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. What a privilege. What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. No better place in all the world than right in God's house. I love to be in the house of God. I love to feel the presence of God. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing like it. Amen. It'll change you if you let it. Amen. So many people just go through the motions and wonder why don't nothing happen. But you get it, you get out what you put in. That's why the writer of Proverbs said, he maketh small the drops of water that pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. You know what he was saying? He was saying what Isaac Newton said many years later. What goes up must come down. And if you want God to work in your life, you've got to send some praises up. If you want the anointing of God to fall in your life, you got to send up some worship. You got to send up some glory. You got to let him know how much you love him. I love him tonight, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. What an honor it is. What an honor it is to be here at New Life. Amen. To feel the presence of God. To worship with you great people. Amen. To get to be able to fellowship with your fine pastor and his family. Great, great people of God. You are blessed. You are blessed. Amen. I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Brother Sutton, it's a great honor to be here with you. I thank you for opening your pulpit to me. Amen. I love him and respect him. Amen. You know, we're living in an hour where the forces of darkness are so very real. And it's time for the church to wake up and realize it's time to put on the whole armor of God and fight. Fight! A couple weeks ago, one Sunday night after church, a gentleman walked up on the platform and he's a little different, and he said, Pastor, he'd been coming for a couple weeks, he said, Pastor, do you believe in exorcisms? I said, well, sure, I believe in casting out the devils. He said, well, I'm possessed of the devil. I said, no, sir, you're not. He said, I'm half possessed. I said, not even half. And he said, you don't know me. I said, no, sir, I don't, but the Holy Ghost does. And I said, I'm going to tell you something, sir. You've opened doors in your life, and you've been watching things, and you've been entertaining things. I said, you're not possessed with the devil. You might want to be, but I said, if you don't close those doors, you will be one day. And he said, you're making me mad. I said, man, I don't know what to tell you. You're the first person I've ever seen that wanted to be possessed with the devil. And he said, you don't think I'm possessed? I said, nope. He said, watch this. I couldn't make this up. And by this time, I saw a bunch of my ushers. They was gathered around him. And he puffed himself up. He got this mean look on his face. And just about the time he's fitting to show me, one of the ushers throwed him down the platform, ushered him out. And I said, man, if you'd just give him a couple more seconds, we'd have found out something. Next service, he comes back. Service is over, and I'm holding my little two-year-old son, and I talked to people, greeted people, and I was fixing to walk up to my office, and they called me. They said, Pastor? I said, yes, sir. They said, this gentleman would like for you to pray for him. Would you mind praying for him? I said, I'd be glad to. And I set my little boy down, and I walked over there to him. And he went to carrying on and raised up his lip and started snarling and growling at me. And I said, man, I can't cast you out. I can cast the devil out, but I can't cast you out. I said, that ain't nothing I can do for you until you won't be delivered, until you won't quit messing with this. And they got him out in the foyer, and they got to praying for him. And one of the ushers said, if you're possessed with the devil, tell me what your name is. He said, I'm Legion, for we're many. Now, I know that's a funny story, but I've come to tell you tonight, there's a lot of apostolic Pentecostals that are claiming to be something. They're claiming to have power over the devil. They're claiming to have it all going on. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time we wake up and realize this isn't a game we're playing. It's time we wake up and realize that there's a real war going on in the spirit. That there's a real battle going on in the heavenlies. Amen. You can shrug it off and act like it doesn't exist, but I'm going to tell you right here in Birmingham, Alabama, amen, there's demon spirits that would like to destroy and devour. Amen. And it's up to the church to shake off the sleep and slumber. Say, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm not going to sit down on the job. I'm not going to get lax in my walk with God, but I'm going to give God everything I've got. I've got my mind made up. I've got my heart fixed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see God do something great in this hour. Amen. The Bible said that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's us. That's us. It's time. It's time we let the Lord show out through us. It's time we let the Holy Ghost flow out from us. It's time we start praying for the sick and they recover. It's time we start letting the devil know we're not going to take you. We're not going to allow you to kick us around anymore. We're not going to allow you to mess with our family anymore. We're not going to allow you to get on the job anymore. We're going to take authority and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's grab your Bibles. Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. Let's turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter number 15. Hallelujah. Judges chapter number 15. I'll begin reading at verse number 9. Judges chapter 15, verse number 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson? Are we come up to do to him as he had done to us? Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, now listen what they said. Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What a sad situation. What is this that thou hast done unto us? And Samson said unto them, I did to them as they have done to me. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound Samson with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord, everybody say the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands were loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Was a sad day in the history of Israel. Was a sad time in the history of the people of God. They'd become sidetracked. They'd become disillusioned. They had forgotten what God had done for them, and forgotten, more importantly, who they were. They said, Samson, our enemy, our rulers over us. Samson, you've messed with the wrong people. It's all over. There isn't anything we can do to help you. And they bound him and they carried him to where the Philistines were. And I know there's a lot of negative things we could preach about Samson. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing about Samson that I would to God would get a hold of every apostolic person. While everybody else is saying, we're subject to the enemy, Samson said, not me. Not me. They might rule you, but they'll never rule me. They might be over you, but they'll never be over me. I'm not going to allow them to bind me. I'm not going to allow them to hold me captive. And I want to preach tonight with the help of God on I refuse to be bound. I refuse to be bound. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray you to anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I bind every spirit of the enemy. Come against every spirit of opposition. Loose the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. I pray that fetters and chains would be broken. Captives would be set free. That minds that have been tormented by the devil would be loosed in this house tonight. And God, before the lights go out in new life, there would be victories that had been given. Deliverances that had been won in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? God. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. It has never been the will of God for the enemy of God's people to rule over them. since that the serpent was cursed in the Garden of Eden, God has intended for our enemy to always be beneath our feet. I'm going to tell you, you ask somebody, well, how's things going? And they say, well, it's good under the circumstances. No, that ain't how it should be. Amen. We're not going to be good underneath the circumstances, but we're going to be good on top of the circumstance. It's never the will of God for your enemy to be over you. It's never the will of God for your enemy to rule you. There are folks that live in continual bondage. They live in a life that's bound by the devil. They never try to break free. They never try to get loose from the failures of their past. They are just convinced that they are bound to live under the constant bombardment of hell's ridicule and mocking. They just satisfied to merely exist. You know, it's time for God's people to quit trying to merely exist. And it's time for God's people to understand who they are and where they come from. It's time for God's people to shake the slumber off, to wipe the sleep out of their eyes and say, I'm a child of God and royal blood flows in my veins, and I refuse to allow the devil to bind me and to hold me hostage. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I'm going to tell you, the anointing is what's going to make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. It's not going to be just good singing and good preaching and all that's necessary. But what breaks the yoke of bondage is when the anointing of God begins to stir in a church service. When the anointing of God begins to move from the front to the back. When people start praying in the Holy Ghost. When people start speaking in other tongues. When they start saying, God, I'm going to get lost in the Spirit tonight. I'm tired of just coming to church. But God, I'm ready for there to be an outpouring of your anointing. I tell you tonight that your past does not determine your future. The mistakes that you've made in yesterday, the mistakes you've made in years gone by, let me tell you something, friend, that's not what determines your future. The devil would try to tell you, because your daddy did this, this is what you're bound to be. Because your family came from this, this is what you're destined to be. But I've come to tell you, your past does not determine the outcome of your future. It's time for you to let the devil know, it don't matter where I came from. It don't matter what I used to be involved with. I've been washed by the blood of Calvary. I've been set free by the power of God's Spirit. I'm a new creature in Christ. Somebody say, well, Brother Smith, I want to do right, but you don't know what I've been involved with. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things that have happened in my life. I want to tell you something. You might have made bad choices. And you might have made bad decisions. Amen. But there's a God in heaven who said, I can take care of that. Matter of fact, I already took care of it. You don't have anything to worry about. Three of the most powerful words in your Bible are found when Jesus is hanging on the cross. Nails in his hands and in his feet, and a spear has been thrust through his side, and he's got a crown of thorns on his head, and things aren't going so good, and Jesus is hanging there suspended between earth and heaven, and he's about to give up the ghost. He's about to die. And he says three words. that forever changed the outcome of human history. He said, it is finished. It's finished. It's over. It's complete. It's done. Someone said, well, you know, he was just saying he was dying. No, that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying that his life was over. He was declaring that through his death, his mission would be fulfilled. He was declaring to the devil, you thought you won, but you've really lost. You thought you got the victory, but you really got the defeat. You thought you were the winner, but you're really the loser, because it's finished, devil. It's over with, devil. My mission will be fulfilled to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to drive out sin. He came to wipe out the ordinances of sin in your life. He came, amen, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Before we leave this building tonight, somebody needs to let the devil know it's finished. The blood purchased my victory. The blood purchased my deliverance. I'm tired of living under the hand of the enemy. I'm tired of the yoke of bondage being on my neck. Listen to me tonight. I've come to preach to somebody in this place. Amen. That you've been bound, and you've been bound a long time. You've battled with things that nobody else even knows that you battle with. You struggle with things that you wouldn't want anybody to know you struggled with. But I've come to tell you tonight, amen, before you leave here and you walk out, if you want deliverance, you can have deliverance. If you want to be free, you can be set free tonight. If you want to be loosed, you can be loosed in this service tonight. God's saying, hey, the grip of sin, the grip of Satan has already been broken. And anybody that wants to be free can be set free. It's finished. It's over. I'm going to preach here in just a minute, but I want to just let somebody understand that in this service tonight, there's going to be some victories won. That you're never going to have to battle that again. There's going to be some things that you're going to get shed of and you're going to get loosed of tonight. Amen. You're not going to have to worry about that any longer, because the Lord is going to send his anointing to break the yoke off of your neck. The Lord is going to send his anointing power to loose every shekel and break every chain. It's not the will of God for you to struggle. It's not the will of God for you to walk around in defeat. It's not the will of God for you to feel tied up and not feel like you can get any joy and not feel like you can get any victory. It's the will of God. Every time you walk into his house, you ought to feel victory. You ought to feel joy. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to feel like you could dance. When you get up in the morning, you ought to feel like you could shout. Why? Because it's not God's will for the enemy to rule over you. Oh, I've come to preach to people and tell the devil I'm sick and tired of him ruling over the people of God. Samson, he'd had a great start. You can read about it for yourself. His start was almost unprecedented in Scripture. Bible tells us, Judges the 13th chapter, that just like the Messiah, Samson's birth was announced by an angel. How'd you like that? Bible tells us that before he was born, he was ordained to deliver the people of God from Philistine bondage. When he came out of his mother's womb, he came out in the eyes of God a deliverer to the people of Israel. And some people in here tonight, The devil tried to tell you, you don't have anything you can do. There's not a work of God you can do. But I'm going to tell you something. God has ordained things in your life that the enemy's tried to talk you out of. And the enemy's tried to tell you it can't happen. And the enemy's trying to say that's just for somebody else. But I've come to tell you that there's an anointing of God on your life that you need to stand up and let that anointing flow through you and break those shackles off of your back and break that yoke off of your neck and walk in liberty and walk in freedom and walk in the deliverance of the Holy Ghost. Samson was called by God. The Lord's hand was upon his life. He was blessed by God. Bible tells us that Samson was destined by God to do great things. However, it was a problem. His flesh prevented him from reaching his full potential. Let me just stop right here and tell somebody tonight. My greatest adversary is not the devil.
That's right.
That's an excuse. The greatest adversary in Bradley Smith's life, Brother Sutton, is this rotten carcass I live in. You say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil didn't make you do it. Your flesh. Your flesh was too strong. That's the problem. Amen. The greatest adversary that you and I have is our flesh. And Samson's flesh, amen, hindered him from reaching his full potential. Samson made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of bad judgments. He made a lot of bad decisions. He did some really dumb things that eventually cost him his life. But there was something in him that I've already brought out tonight that I want to preach about. There was a quality inside of Samson that said, I don't care what anybody else does. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. And if everybody else wants to be bound, that's their prerogative. If everybody else wants to walk around with their head hung in defeat, they can walk around with their head hung in defeat. But I'm not going to allow that to happen in my life. It was something inside of Samson that said, I refuse to be ruled by my enemy. I refuse to allow the enemy to get their hands on me and keep me bound and keep me down. Samson lived in a day when God's people were subject to the Philistines. Judges 14:4 said that at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. The Philistines constrained the people of God. They kept them on short leashes. They wouldn't let them go very far. And throughout the Old Testament, we find consistently the Philistines tormented the people of God. Consistently they were bombarding them. Consistently they were tormenting them. They were trying to keep them from going very far. They were trying to keep them bound up. And the Israelites had lived in anguish and they'd lived in pain from their enemy for so long that they believed that they would never break free from their bondage. They believed that this was how it was always going to be. And I've come to preach to this church tonight and tell you it's the devil's business to try to convince you that things have been this way so long, that's how they're always going to be. But I've come to preach a spark of faith inside of you. Amen. You'd rise up and say, no, my enemy is not going to rule over me. No, my enemy won't keep me in bondage. The enemy might say, I can't do it. But the power of the blood said that I can do it. The enemy is such a hard taskmaster. I preached about it this morning, the way the transgressor's hard. He's such a hard taskmaster. John chapter 10 said, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He was saying there's a thief out there. He doesn't want anything good for you. He wants to bind you up. He wants to knock you down. He wants to keep you in utter bondage. He wants to keep you from getting victory in your life. But It's important that you know that no matter how bad things get in your life, you cannot allow the enemy to rule over you. There's got to be something inside of you that said, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I got a phone call this afternoon while I was getting ready for tonight. And on the other end of the line, there's a lady in my church talking to me. She was telling me things going on. And I started talking with her a little bit and I hung up the phone. And here in a little bit, the Lord spoke to me. And I picked that phone back up and I called her. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. This is nothing but an attack of the devil. He wants to try to get your focus. I said, when you walk into that service tonight, and when you lift your head in the air, you throw your hands up and you war in the spirit, because God is going to give you victory. God is going to give you the answer. God is going to break that yoke. I've come to tell somebody tonight, you might be feeling the bombardment of hell, but you raise up your standard. You raise up your head and say, I'm a child of God. I refuse to allow my enemy to rule over me. Woo! I'm not going to let it happen. Others might, but I won't. I'm not going to allow the enemy to shackle me. I'm not going to allow the enemy to bind me. I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I've got more self-worth than that. I'm not going to allow the devil to convince me I'm just going to be destined to be like this. Devil, you're a liar. Hang on. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost starting to stir up in here tonight. There's got to be something inside of you that gets so mad at the devil, you just don't take it anymore. There's got to be a spirit of righteous indignation that rises up in you, that you say, it's not going to happen in my life. It's not going to stay like this in my home. It's not going to be like this with my kids. Somebody said, oh, I'm having a struggle with my babies. I tell you what, you need to plead the blood of Jesus over them. You need to plead the blood of Calvary over them, and let the devil know, you're not going to have them. You're not going to bind them up. You're not going to hold them hostage. They're a child of God, and you will not rule over them. Woo! Judges chapter 15, the Bible tells us that Samson caught 300 foxes. He took firebrands and tied their tails together and set the fields on fire. You ought to try to catch one fox. One fox is amazing. 300? In Judges chapter 16, the Bible tells us that Samson was anointed by God and he carried away the gates of the city. Just picked them up on his shoulders and walked away with them. He broke free from the ropes that had him bound. And while everybody else was saying, Samson, would you quit messing with them? Samson said, they don't rule me. If they mess with me, I'm going to mess with them. If they're going to bother me, I'm going to bother them. And while the mentality of the generation of Samson's time was saying, you know what, we're just satisfied to not rile the enemy up. While the mentality of the other children of God was, we're just going to leave them alone so they don't mess with us. There was something inside of Samson that said, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to live timid. I'm not going to live with my head hung down. I'm not going to allow the enemy to get an upper hand on me. And so here we are. Finally arrive where the Philistines have come. They've come to get Samson. And the people of God said, why you come up against us? They said, we've come to get Samson to do to him as he's done to us. The people of God were in such a pitiful place. They said, you stay here and we'll go get him. You stay right here and we'll go capture him and bring him to you. They had become so accepted that There wasn't anything they could do to stop the onslaught of the enemy, that they just said, we'll do your work for you. And they went to the top of the rock Edom where Samson was, and the Bible said that they brought 3,000 men with them. They had given up the fight. There was a time when the people of God would have fought. There was a time when the people of God would have scrapped. But now they'd become so weary. They'd become so battle scarred. They'd become so weak from the fight. They'd become so just their mind accepting this was how it was going to be. That they said, you know what? We're just going to pacify the enemy in hopes that they'll take it easy on us. We're just going to try to pacify the enemy so they won't bother us. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You will never be an overcomer striking deals with the devil. You will never have victory in your life by just trying to pacify the enemy in your life. There's got to be something that rises up inside of you that said, no, no, no. I don't care if anybody else fights, I'll fight. So they came to Samson, 3,000 men. And they said, Samson, what have you done? Why, you know better than to mess with them. You know that there are enemies. And you know that they have dominion over us. Why have you bothered them? Now, Samson, we're going to have to take you hostage. We're going to have to carry you down to where the Philistines were. And Samson looks at them and he said, hey, guys, he said, all I'm asking for you is to promise me that you won't lay any hand on me. You can bind me and you can carry me down to where the enemy is, but I don't want you to fall on me. You promise me that you won't hurt me and I'll let you bind me. And so here they go. They say, all right, Samson, we're not going to hurt you, but we got to bind you. We can't allow the enemy to stir us up. We can't allow the enemy to cause us any more problems. Sorry about your luck. And they bind him. And they carry him down to Lehi. They carry him down to where the Philistines are. And Samson looks at those men that were his brothers. He looked at the men of Judah. He said, boys, he said, before you turn me loose, you better get ready to run. Before you let me go, you better put your sneakers on. Because he said, I'm not going to take this sitting down. Samson, you're bound. It don't make no difference. I refuse to be bound. Samson, you got cords on your hand. That's all right. I refuse to be a prisoner. You know, let me just say something right here tonight. You're only a prisoner if you get it in your mindset. It don't matter where you're at. If you've got the mindset of a victor, you'll be a victor. That's why the Apostle Paul could write from a Roman jail and say, hey, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. He could write, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know why? Because he learned, I'm not a victor. I'm not a prisoner unless I say I'm a prisoner. And so, here they are. He said, you better get your shoes laced up. You better get ready to run, because when you turn me loose, they're going to have a fight on their hands. And the Philistines were looking at this man that had caused them so much problems. They were looking at this man that had burned down their fields. They were looking at a man that had carried the gates of the city away. And they were ready to finish him off. And they see a man that is now bound. They see a man that is now in captivity, so it seems. And they start getting excited. And they start shouting.
And the Bible said that they shouted against him. And that was a bad mistake. Because when they shouted against Samson, my Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. All of a sudden, this man that was bound, there's a smoking going on those new cords that they had around his wrist. All of a sudden, this man that had been bound, amen, all of a sudden he's standing there and the enemy's shouting against him and the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon him. And those cords start smoking and they start melting and they start falling off his arms. And all of a sudden, these men that just a moment before had been screaming and hollering, now they watch in terror as the cords fall off of Samson's hands. But they've already started coming. They're already about on top of him. And Samson, Bible said, looked down and at his feet was the jawbone of an ass. And he bent down and he picked up that jawbone. And he looked at it, said, I believe this will do. And he started swinging that thing like a man gone crazy. He started stacking the Philistines up like cordwood. But before we get any further, let me just tell you something about God. I'm going to tell you, God knew what Samson needed before Samson knew. And I don't know how long before it had happened, but sometime back before Samson got there, there'd been a donkey or an ass walking across the desert floor. He'd been walking across this place called Lehi. And all of a sudden, I don't know if he died of a heart attack. I don't know what happened. I don't know if someone shot him. I don't know what took place. All I know is he died. And all I know is that it'd been a good long time that he'd been dead because now his jawbone is there. And Samson looks down and understands that God has given me what I need to fight this battle. I've come to preach to somebody tonight and tell you that God knows what you're going to face before you get there. And God has made a way for you to escape. God has prepared a weapon for you to fight with. And Samson, he began to annihilate the enemy. He began swinging that jawbone. He began knocking the enemy down. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of God flowed through him. And the Bible tells us that God gave Samson a great victory that day. When he got there, the name of the place where they fought or where he picked up the jawbone was Lehi. But if you'll read in your Bible, you will find out that when it was all over, he said, I think I'm going to change the name of this place. It's not just going to be Lehi. I'm going to name it Ramoth. Lehi. I'm gonna name it the place of the lifted up jawbone. I'm gonna name this place so every time I come by it in the future, I can remember the past victory that God gave me. I'm gonna name it Ramoth Lehi so every time the Philistines come by, they'll remember the victory that God gave to me that day. I've come to tell somebody tonight, you can name what you conquer. If you can get victory over it, you can change its name. It might be depression now, but when you get victory over it, you can name it peace. It might be problems now. It might be discouragement now, but when you get victory over it, you can name it joy. My God, I've come to preach to somebody tonight and tell you it's time for you to get some victory. It's time for you to go to those things that the enemy's flaunted in your face. Say, I'm going to change that name. because before I leave here tonight, I'm going to get victory over you. Devil, before I walk out of this place tonight, I refuse to be bound one more service. I refuse to just go through the motions one more night before I leave here. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to conquer you. And when I conquer you, I'm going to change your name. You know the joy that must have been in Samson's soul. You know the joy that must have been in his life when all of a sudden he looked down and saw that weapon and said, God, you ain't never failed me. God, you ain't never let me alone. He looked down and what others saw was just a little donkey bone. He said, no, that's what God gave me to fight with. What others looked at and said, it ain't nothing. He said, yes, it is. It's the weapon that I'm going to use to get the victory. Samson had made up his mind. I refuse to let the Philistines rule me. But as I read through the life of Samson, and I read one victory after another, I see in this man a fatal flaw. I see in this man someone that God uses mightily. And then all of a sudden he begins to do things his way. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord would move on Samson at times. And when you look at that, that sounds nice. But I've lived for God long enough to know that it's going to take more than just God touching you at times. Brother Sutton, I've pastored people that they could serve God on Sunday. Power of God would come on them. They could run with the best of them. They could shout. We got a big old bass drum on our platform. They could beat the thunder out of it. I'm going to tell you, we got a balcony wrapped around our church, and it sound like horses on Sunday night. It sound like the Kentucky Derby. They running in the balconies. They screaming and hollering and beating the drums. I'm going to tell you, I watched them. I pastored them as they came on Sunday, and the Spirit of God moved on them at times. Come Monday and come Tuesday, what they felt on Sunday wasn't there. Come Monday and come Tuesday, the victory that they had on Sunday had vanished away, and now they're back in the battle. I'm going to tell you tonight, it takes more than just an at-times relationship. It takes more than you just serving God when you come to church. You say, well, you can make up your mind tonight, I'm going to break every shekel, I'm going to loose every chain, I'm not going to be bound anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, if all you get is something that'll last tonight, you're destined to fail. If all you get is the Spirit of the Lord moving on you at times, how many times have I watched them up, down, up, and down. A victory one minute and defeat the next. They could serve God when everybody was shouting, but they'd always trip up when the shout was quiet. And here is this great man of God, a man that said, I won't let the enemy find me. But there was a major flaw in his life that he never got the victory over. And one day, they bound him. And one day, they put out his eyes. And one day, they brought him and made sport of him. And though the Spirit of God came on him and he pulled the pillars of that building together and the building collapsed and he killed more in his death than he did in his life, it ended up getting him too. Because all he had was just at times the Spirit of God would come upon him. I'm going to tell you how I pray. And this just shifted on me. But I'm going to tell you how I pray. When I get up here to preach, I prayed today. I did. I asked God to help me. I wanted to help you. But I don't pray that God anoints me when I preach. You say, well, Brother Smith, you need to be anointed when you preach. I understand that. But I need to be anointed more than just when I preach. I pray, God, I want you to anoint my life. I want you to anoint me. That when I get up in the morning, your anointing will be on me. When I go to bed at night, your anointing will be on me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have an anointed life, you can have a victorious life. If you have an anointed life, you can be an overcoming life. If you have an anointed life, you don't have to be bound. You don't have to be defeated. Stand with me tonight. If you have an anointed life, you can stand when everybody else is falling. If you have an anointed life, you can grit your teeth. You can stare the devil in the eyeballs and say, I ain't going down. I'm not surrendering. I refuse to be bound. I refuse to take this. Others might, but I won't. Why? Because I'm anointed.
Hold on. Hold on, sir. Hold on.
You got to settle the issue. You got to settle it. If the devil knows you're up and down, he don't mind you shouting on Sunday. Because he knows your pattern on Tuesday. But oh, if there can ever be something inside of you said, I ain't going to be bound no more. I'm not going to be like this no more. I'm not going to allow the enemy to hinder me anymore. If you can ever get it in your mind that I'm going to be anointed not on Sunday only, but I'm going to be anointed on Monday. I'm going to be anointed on Tuesday. I'm going to be anointed on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going to be anointed every day because I don't want the devil to get an upper hand in me. You see, it's all right up there in your mind. Right there. The biggest battle you'll ever fight. Right here. And if the devil can bind your mind, bind your thinking, you're a cooked goose. As long as you let him, the devil will push you around. He'll make you believe that you have to live underneath his thumb. He'll make you feel like you can only do what he says you can do. But tonight in this service, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would anoint us. And we're going to pray that God wouldn't just anoint us for this evening. We're going to pray that God would anoint us forever. And I'm going to tell you, I feel it. I believe it. We're going to come to this altar tonight, and there's going to be people get some things loosed off of them. There's going to be people walk up to this altar that you've been battling things. You're going to get loose from tonight. Would you pray with me right now, Jesus? I bind every spirit of the enemy. I come against every spirit of opposition. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, the truth isn't in your mouth. God, right now, I'm asking for your anointing to settle on us. I want you to anoint us, not with just an at times anointing, but God, I want the anointing of God to be upon us when we go home tonight. when we get up tomorrow. Amen. When we go about this week's work, I want your anointing to be upon us. And Jesus, every shekel, every fetter, every chain that people have carried in this service tonight, I bind it and I take authority over it. I bind it and I take dominion over it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray there'd be victory. I pray there'd be victory. I pray there'd be victory. That God, it wouldn't just be temporary, but it would be permanent. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, let's put it on the altar tonight. Let's put it on the altar tonight. I'm not going to be bound. I'm not going to be bound. I'm not going to let the devil keep messing with my mind. I'm not going to let the devil keep messing with my emotions. I'm going to be loose tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be set free tonight by the power of God's Spirit. I said, come on, come on, come on. God, you let the yoke be broken. God, you let the yoke be loosed. We're not going to be bound tonight. We're going to be set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, there's people in here tonight that you've called, that you've destined them to be used by you. I'm praying tonight that your power would flow over them, that you'd give them total victory. You'd give them total victory. Jesus' name.